Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. I know it's been a week or two, but we are back, and we are ready to deliver you the high-quality program that you have come to love from us. I just want to tell you about some of the sponsors we have on this show. One of them happens to be Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Manskirt Brewing is just an awesome place to go grab a craft beer. Lots of space, lots of room, a really cool craft brewery inside the old bank building there on Main Street. You got to go check them out. They have 8 seasonally inspired ales, always rotating tap handles. They just brought back a rose blonde flavored with rose petals from Well Sweep Herb Farm. So that sounds delicious. So make sure you go check out Manskirt Brewing. Located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Give them some love on the old Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We're also sponsored by Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F, Wake Up, Live Free. Wolf Nation is an up-and-coming clothing company that just makes some really sweet clothes for men, women, children. They just came out with leggings for females with varsity lettering, sports tank tops for ladies, camouflage hats, shirts, Rolls-Royce edition, and Coca-Cola editions just came out. Go support Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F, Wake Up, Live Free. Check out their website. They're taking orders at wolfnation.rocks. Just a great up-and-coming business with great clothing, so make sure you go and support our friends at Wolf Nation. It's only a dream if you're not pursuing it. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Trivia Revolution is a company that does trivia all over beer bars and breweries across the state of New Jersey. So go out and play. You could play for free. You could win prizes if you're in last place to different beer bars and breweries. So it's just a good time. There's a bonus item every week to look up. So make sure you go check them out. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right. This week we have returning guests, brothers Christian and Damien DeVoe. They created a sport that you may have seen on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram called World Chase Tag, basically parkour meets tag. We had them on about a year ago, and they've had a lot of happenings with their sport, so I wanted to bring them back on. So with that, guys, enjoy the podcast.
You're it.
Hi, my name is Damien DeVoe, and I'm one of the founders of World Chase Tag. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Right. I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Even shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Right. Hello. Mike Berlew. Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. Episode 200 and something or other. I think we're 207, I think.
Dick, you better confirm. 207 is exciting. 205, screw that. I'm phoning it in.
I remember, like, when we used to have, like, a lot of guests. I remember we'd record, like, a bunch and then, like, release them weeks later. Like, it was really very hard to keep track of what episode was what. Because we'd be like, oh, I'll release this in 2 weeks, release this in a couple weeks. That was hard. Let's never do that again.
Yeah, we were, in our brilliant minds, we said, oh, we're just going to grab everybody, and then we're going to figure out the schedule. And we just kept on saying, like, yeah, we'll do 2 a week, and this is going to be awesome. And then reality said, you know, that takes time. And we said, screw it. So you get your weeklies, people.
Yeah, and then we'd have episodes with like 3 guests on it. Well, it wasn't the smartest strategy in the world, but But so now we're back. Last week we took a week off. And I'll get to that in a second, but last episode we had Reed Booth, the Killer Bee Guy. Yes, and then before that we had Pete Corielli. So those are fun. And then before that we had Bob Rush from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Always Sunny.
But which is coming back very soon.
Yeah.
September 5th, I think, something like that.
Labor Day weekend, something like that. So. Still hubbub on whether Dennis is going to show up or not.
He's going to be back.
Yeah. I like how they're teasing people. They're just they're like taking pictures of the girl from the Mindy Project and Well, the one of the kid from Arrested Development, they put out rumors that he's going to be the new Dennis or something like that, just to piss off all the fans.
And now every picture I see is just Mac with his shirt off.
Yeah, yeah. He's ripped, so it's just like, here you go.
Just ridiculously jacked. But anyway, guys, this is Rebel Shenanigans. If you've never tuned in, I'm Scott, and that's Mike there down in the sweet motherland of Georgia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Peach State. Is that where you guys are? The Peach State?
Yep, we're the Peach State. You're the Garden State, buddy.
Yeah, the Peach State. Have you sunk your teeth into any Georgia peaches?
I've had some. I think it's pretty equivalent. And my brother actually, when he first moved down here, and he was working with a bunch of guys who hate Northerners. I mean, nowadays, well, it's true. I mean,
we call them racists here.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when my brother and my dad came down about 15 years ago, it was still probably about 70-30 locals versus out-of-staters. So they were not keen on people from the north coming down and taking jobs and so forth. Like, they would be pissed off of my dad because he had his Jersey salary coming down. And
right.
My brother, the same thing. So they used to hate that. Nowadays, it's probably half and half. And all, like, yeah. Most of the people I meet aren't from Georgia. They're from other states. I mean, some are still like southern states, but for the most part, it's kind of rare when somebody says I've lived in Georgia all my life. But going back to my story, so God knows how my brother gets into these conversations. Like, they basically were telling my brother Georgia peaches are the greatest peaches that ever live, and there's no other place that can grow a peach like Georgia. And my brother's like, oh, you're goddamn crazy and all that, but Jersey peaches rule, and they get all hussy and fussy and whatnot. So my brother had a week off coming up, and he's like, I'm gonna bring back some peaches from New Jersey. I'm going to show you something. Little did they know, all he did was he went to the local Kroger,
right,
and got a bunch of peaches from there, the local peaches, and he ripped off all the stickers. So he had like 20 peaches. He put it out there, and every guy, they take a bite, they spit it out. This is the most disgusting thing I ever tasted in my life. You know, you Northerners don't know anything. And he was laughing his ass off. Just looking at them, and then when he said it was from Georgia, and I was like, well, I knew it was. I was playing with you.
No, I was just kidding.
Peaches suck. Yeah.
That's like my dad just told me a story the other day. They got new uniforms at work, and the one guy put on the shirt, and he was like kind of itchy or whatever, and my dad started messing with him like, oh, yeah, like I took my uniforms home yesterday, and my wife washed them, and there was like bugs in there, like, you know, like, so make sure you check all your uniforms. And then sure enough, a couple other guys, you know, as the thing starts going on, like a couple other guys are like, oh yeah, I was itchy too. Oh man, like I've been itching all day long. And it just started spreading and spreading and spreading. And then like towards the end of the day, he had to be like, there was never any bug. Like, you know, like there's no bugs. It's just messing with you idiots. And I'm like, but. So,
meanwhile, the company had a bunch of bed bugs, and like, whew, glad they made up that story.
Way to go, Dennis. Way to go. So we were off last week because I attended my first Indian wedding.
Yeah, they didn't even invite you. It was weird.
Yeah. Indian wedding.
You're like, I've never done one of these. Let me in.
Indian wedding crashers.
That's
one of those
weirdly, like, sounds awesome.
Yeah, one of those like straight to VHS sequels, like
yeah.
Wow, I'm going back there. I just said VHS.
Oh yeah. God,
yeah, I didn't even say DVD, straight to VHS. But yeah, you know, like American Pie 4, you know. Mm-hmm. There's like one character that was in the originals, like the dad, and so all the rest is like new kids.
Yeah. Well, I was Stifler's third cousin, another Stifler.
There's just a guy that looks like Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson crashing Indian weddings. But yeah, so my buddy Taryn, I've been friends with Taryn for ages. We played in bands together. He tied a knot with his wife Lisa, who is, she's not Indian, she is Taiwanese. But okay. I was very excited about going to Indian wedding. We've been talking about it for years. Because, you know, like once you go to you know, dozens and dozens of regular weddings, or if you will, or, you know, non, I don't know, very cultural weddings, your basic American weddings, you know, you kind of get used to it. You're like, okay, well, there's the cocktail hour. This is that. Mm-hmm.
Typical liberal looking for other people's weddings. Yeah. You know? The American weddings are horrible. They're not as cultured as some of them. That Mozambique wedding I went to was amazing. Oh,
so much better. Just so much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a – first off, I'll preface this by – so it was we did – it was a long week because we did the bachelor party the Saturday because we had a couple people flying in. The Sunday we did this thing called the Sangeet, which was basically like a mini wedding. And then Tuesday was the wedding, and Monday we were getting ready. So it was like a long week. And now last Tuesday – well, 2 weeks ago, I got hit with what I thought was food poisoning or – it was some kind of gastrointestinal thing, and, you know, basically on the toilet every hour. I'm not throwing up, just constant diarrhea.
Yeah, that's the first step of the Indian wedding. Gotcha.
Tradition. Great tradition. All guests must eat the rancid meat. You can't let your friends down, man. You got to eat it.
No. Bro, you take down that green steak.
So bad on Tuesday and Wednesday that I couldn't go to work, and I was just like every hour. Thursday, Friday are coming. I'm like, if the bachelor party's like, I'm not gonna be able to make this. Like, I'm not gonna be able to get through this. So Friday, I went to the doctor, and she basically said it could be food poisoning, could be an intestinal thing. Hard to tell the difference. She's like, try just to get on some Imodium. So I took Imodium and it worked like a charm. And I was, you know, pretty good the day of the bachelor party. Like, I was taking it real easy up until like nighttime. Then I had a couple beers. But during the day, I just was like, I'm just happy to not be sitting on the toilet right now. But yeah. She did give me I feel like there's been a lot of poop episodes lately. Just a couple weeks ago, I was talking about how I pooed my pants at work. But anyway, she wanted me to do a stool sample. Now, I have never done this, and I didn't end up doing it because she gives me this big bucket, and she's like, you just put on gloves and you take these sticks and you put it into three vials and wrap them up and bring it. I'm like, I don't feel like doing that. So I still have the kit.
Should have drove up to Open Biome and just let them handle it.
Yeah. So I did recover enough where I was okay for the, you know, the wedding and the party, but not great, but I was okay enough. But turns out to this day, I'm still not 100%, you know, I'm still suffering. So I might have to take that stool kit. I'll report back to you next week, guys. I know you're, I know you guys are
stool update.
I know you guys are hanging on by the edge of your seat. Okay. So
toilet seat.
Yeah. So the bachelor party was fun. We went to Brooklyn, hung out, did a couple breweries, axe throwing, which I suck at axe throwing, by the way, which kind of kind of disappointing.
You figure you'd be the favored.
I know.
Going into it. Like,
especially
I mean, not to stereotype the redhead bearded guy.
Right.
But just by rule, it's like, all right, zombie apocalypse, I got a bunch of axes. I'm seeing what Brennan's up to.
See, not only that, you could stereotype me, but you could also stereotype the company I was with. A little Asian guy, a little Indian guy, two Indian guys. Like, not known for throwing axes, let's just say that, you know?
Yeah. There's not a lot of lumberjacks in the Southeast that I'm aware of.
In the first Indian lumberjack would be the equivalent of, like, Yao Ming. Like, it would be, it'd be a shocking pick.
That'd be great, some 7-Eleven Asian just throwing axes to perfection and all. That's a person I want to have a beer with.
Yeah, so
I got to be honest.
So it's pretty simple. You're throwing the axes, but mine kept, like, hitting and not sticking in. Like, I don't know if I was throwing it too hard, but all these other guys are doing great. But I suck at axe throwing, apparently. So I got to go back and try to salvage this. Because, like, there's, like, all these corporate dudes next to me killing it. Women doing amazing. Taryn doing amazing, who is my little Indian friend. And, you know, he's half drunk throwing the axe. It wasn't fair.
Perfect time to throw axes.
Yeah, so we go to the Sangeet the next day. And that was more of, like, the women getting the henna tattoos, like, on their hands and stuff like that. And then, but they had like a DJ and there was like dancing and food. And so it almost felt like a little wedding. Like I thought it was going to be more like a rehearsal dinner kind of thing, but it was more of a, almost like a party before the big party.
Okay. So it was like fun. How many people were there?
I'd say 100, 120.
100 for the Sangeet.
Sangeet, yes. Yes.
Sangeet.
Yes.
Wow.
Not Zangief from Street Fighter.
Now that'd been epic. Now that's a wedding I gotta attend, you know.
Who's your favorite Street Fighter character?
Street Fighter,
I was big on Chun-Li.
What's the green guy who electroshocked people? I forget his name.
Blanca,
yeah. I always remember the Indian was always the cheap one and all. Like, you couldn't, no matter where you were, he would extend his arms and punch you. It was like always the cheap one.
Dallas,
like,
his name was?
Yeah, because we actually had Street Fighter, the arcade at our old job.
Wow.
And I would used to go over there from time to time, play a few free games and all. But even when it got good, I'd be like, oh, I got like three in a row. I'm doing good. The second it showed the plane head into India, I'm like, game over. There's no, because he was so cheap, you know, there was no way of blocking or jumping to get near him. It was just crazy.
I think Street Fighter is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of arcade games, I think. I remember when that came out, it was that and Mortal Kombat blew everybody away.
Yeah. Probably Ninja Turtles arcade.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. The X-Men game.
X-Men game, that was pretty awesome.
The Simpsons.
Simpsons, yeah, that was a classic.
And then NBA Jam has to be,
for
me, number one all time, NBA Jam.
Easily.
Back to Indian wedding, not Indian Street Fighter characters. We get it. You don't like Indians, Berlo. We got it. I don't think Taron can do that thing with his arms either. So
darn.
Yeah.
That'd been awkward when I ask him.
And fun fact, guys, if you want to listen to the origins of Verbal Shenanigans, the guy I'm talking about was on the first like two or three episodes. So
yeah.
We talk about like computers and shit. Very exciting. So if you go all the way back to like episode two or three, that's you find Taron there. Mm-hmm. But okay, so I learned how to I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but Bhangra dance, which is like the Punjab dance that you see. Like, the one guy described it as twisting the light bulb and then petting the dog. Those were the two main moves. Yeah, and Taron's brother-in-law like takes like Bhangra like classes, so he was like all out, like real good. So I was trying to mimic him. So we learned that at the Sangeet. But other than that, Sangeet, pretty normal, like just really good Indian food and just kind of like a hangout, really.
Now, when you're doing the dance, is it like those Bollywood movies where amazingly 20 people can do it perfectly in unison?
I didn't notice, but probably because people didn't want to do it with me. A lot of guys didn't know the move. Now, let's get to the wedding. Now, the wedding was the exciting part. Because this is where the traditions really.
Now, before you continue, I have one question. Whose bright idea was to have a wedding on Tuesday? Is that an Indian thing itself or just.
No, actually, you would say the same thing, like, wow, Tuesday. But actually, it's pretty brilliant, right? Because Tuesday, July 3rd, right? So they probably got a discount for having it on a Tuesday, right? It's probably cheap. Mm-hmm. And everyone's off the next day.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Now I see it. Because you said wedding on Tuesday. I'm like,
I know. I thought the same thing when I first saw it. I'm like, what? And then I'm like, well, that's actually pretty smart. Nobody has to go to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably got a significant discount for doing it on Tuesday. So
probably.
And it was a big wedding. It was like probably 250 people at least. So morning of, we get dressed. Now we're in. Taron chose. We are in maroon shirts, maroon pants, and maroon jackets. Interesting. Well, I was kind of a little depressed because I was hoping that we got to wear like traditional Indian garb. That would have been fun, you know, but we didn't. So we show up at the wedding early and we're down in the basement and his dog is there. They had like his dog was part of the ceremony.
Oh, aren't you?
And now he's a big fat bulldog, like constantly like drooling all over the place and went up. So we're down there. But then like we go upstairs and the actual like there's like a kind of like a pre-ceremony, like a drummer comes in and he starts playing that. And they start dressing Taryn up and like they put all the stuff on his head. Now during the week he had also had like he had to do a thing where he got like painted and they came with like oils and his family like did all sorts of things. And now Taryn is like, you know, he's like kind of like all of us, like me, like we grew up in the religion, but he's not like super religious. So I always wondered if that was kind of weird for him. But anyway, so
now when they do this during the week, is he allowed to like shower or is it?
He's
well, I'm just saying, you know, like would.
Oh, he wasn't like
covered on like a Saturday and it stays on till Tuesday.
No, no, like he wasn't covered in paint like Monday when we saw him. Like he wasn't like, hey guys, you know,
okay,
he was all cleaned up.
I'm gonna do that for my wedding. I'm just gonna face paint like the Redskins colors on and like, yeah.
Oh, great!
What a day!
The theme is white trash. So this is where it started. So they start putting like all the men and his uncles started putting like these different hats on and like they put these beads and all sorts of things and. We're drumming, and he's just waiting, and they're like, oh, everyone's kind of coming around him, and then we go outside. Now, traditionally, I guess, in certain Indian weddings, the groom is technically supposed to come in on a horse or an elephant, which I was hoping that there'd be, because I just want to see my friend Taryn on an elephant to begin with. But
it must be easy to get those for on a Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. Elephant rentals, half off. But he came in a Porsche, in a blue Porsche. He rented a Porsche, and he, like my friend Mike had to drive him in, and so he had to go into the Porsche, and then we all had to like, you know, every couple we had to like dance on the way in, like so the drummer's going boom, like just constant drumming going on, and we had to like kind of dance, and like everyone got together, and we'd stop, and then they'd say something, and then the drummer would speed it up again, and we'd dance again, and this took about a half hour for him to go like 1,000 feet, maybe that, if that. So we're all dancing and like doing these spin moves, and so that was kind of interesting, but it was also like 100 degrees and pure humidity that day, so I am pouring sweat. Thankfully, the ceremony was supposed to be outside. It was inside, which is great.
Oh, okay.
There's some thunder in the forecast. So the ceremony happens, and now normally I'm thinking like Catholic or Jewish ceremonies. Everybody's very quiet, very, very paying attention, you know. But during the ceremony, people are just like getting up and getting drinks. I guess maybe because it's so long, there's like a million different things going on. They burn wood. They eat like pieces of honey and yogurt, and they feed each other. There's like a million things going on. Now, during this time, we were supposed to apparently be protecting the groom's shoes.
Okay.
Yeah, like we were, because the girls were supposed to try to steal the shoes. Okay.
So what is the significance and what happens if the girls steal the shoes?
I don't know. I have no idea. Now, I was asking them the day before, like, how aggressive are we supposed to get? Like, am I supposed to be like fending off like women coming at me? But so as soon as someone said, they're like, oh, you guys should be getting the shoes, I ran over and I stole one shoe from this girl during the ceremony, and then I brought it back, and we were trying to and my six other groomsmen, so we're trying to hide it. I stick it in my back belt loop, like in my kind of between my pants. They were supposed to protect me, and I'm asking the guy, like, oh, what are we supposed to do, how bad are we supposed to, she comes right up, gets through six guys and just snatches the shoe right from my back. And then she takes it. She sticks the shoes under her dress. I'm like, well, we're not getting those because we are not getting Me Too'd at Taryn's wedding.
And Uncle Louie came over and got really awkward.
And then my friend Joe is sitting there trying to dump the girl off the chair to get the shoe, like literally picking up her chair during the ceremony, like trying to spill her off off of the chair. And we're like, I don't know how far we're supposed to take this. So the girls ended up with the shoes. We did a horrific job with that.
You let us down, Scotty.
I know.
Let us down.
But so then after the ceremony, the rest of the wedding was very like any other wedding you would go to, like just loud DJ, you know, music, speeches, all that. Everything was completely like every other wedding. But all the tradition stuff was a lot of fun. It was fun to see, to do something different and kind of be part of it. And I don't know how many other indie weddings I'll ever get to be part of, if any. So,
make some new friends. I don't know. You know, go on singleindians.com and be like, look, I'm not looking for romance. I just want to be there when a romance happens.
Well, I'm curious.
I care about.
I'm curious, as you say that, I wonder if the podcast gets any listens in India. So, let me see. Now, have you ever been to like another culture's wedding, like something completely outside of?
I haven't been to that many crazy weddings. I'm trying to think. Like, the only wedding I know a couple have some story, but not like of anything that involves a cultural or anything. I do know that an ambulance had to show up for my first sister's wedding because they got a little too frisky on the garter toss.
Jesus.
And one of the guys tried to get a running head start to dive and catch it. Which resulted in one guy getting knocked out.
Yes.
One kid getting, like, three of us falling on this, like, 8-year-old kid. So he was crying like a little, well, like an 8-year-old. And so the ambulance had to come for that. And
wow.
So that was kind of interesting.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah. I also I remember once I went to a former co-worker's wedding. I was dating somebody else at the time, and she didn't want to go to a wedding, so I had to go stag. But I remember something I ate there didn't agree with me, because as we were driving back, I had a bad headache and my entire body just started itching. And I haven't been able to figure out, I must have had an allergic reaction to something. I haven't been able to figure out, because the only things I could have thought it was either I think I had prosciutto there for the first time, and I think he had octopus in the seafood salad. Now, I've had both since then, and I haven't had the reactions, but
maybe they were doing the rancid meat tradition.
Yeah, it could have been. Maybe they were part Indian. I don't know. But I kind of remember I came back to the place I was staying with the girl, and I was feeling horrible. Like, it was... the itching was so bad, I actually went into the freezer to grab a empty ice cube tray, and I was putting it on my chest just to, like, freeze my skin so the itching wouldn't stop.
That's right.
Meanwhile, well, let's add to it. Meanwhile, for some reason, my girl was horny that night, and she's trying to, like, make a move on me. And I'm like literally saying, okay, I can't do anything right now. I'm nonstop scratching my
scratch
body.
Scratch me, baby. Scratch me.
Yeah. And but what was funny was, like, she got so pissed off at me, and she said, "You never want to do it when I want to do it. You always want to do it when you want to do it." And I got so pissed off at her. I remember turning to her and yelling at her, "Well, just jump on me, bitch. I hope I got poison oak." And that was the end of the night. It was like the most savage comeback ever. Nobody was around to see it. But those were like the two wedding stories I could think of.
Oh, warming the heart, buddy. knocking out 8-year-olds.
Yeah,
and
I haven't said those magic words to Izzy yet, but in due time.
Jump on me, bitch. I hope I have poison. Did you follow through with the activity?
No, we didn't go.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really hard to force that afterwards.
It got her out of the mood, apparently. So we did not last much longer afterwards. Funny story, she actually lives in Georgia, and she was going to come over our house for the 4th of July, but she had to cancel the last minute.
Maybe you could bring that back up.
Hey, girl, remember the time.
Turned out it wasn't poison oak, so
no.
You were right.
Yeah, you know, you still got a freebie coming. I mean, I took it away from you, so whenever you want to cash it in.
So it turns out, as you were talking, I looked up how many listens we have in India in the last 3 months. We have 3. So
out of, I think they have 1 billion people there.
Yeah, 3.
So out of a billion, three.
Three.
Now, can we determine if they were three unique people, or is it just that one Indian dude that nobody likes who just listens to our podcast?
I didn't go that far. But I will tell you that Germany still loves us. The Ukraine loves us.
All right.
And France and Slovakia still like us a lot. So, not bad.
No. A lot of... No, not all of them are in World Cup. Only a couple of them were in World Cup this year. France is still going, right?
Yes. That's who I predicted to win. So we'll see. So I think with that, we should better get to our guest here.
Yeah, I think so.
So about a year ago, I don't have the episode offhand what it was, but it was about a year ago, probably in June or May last year or whatnot.
Eventually, but go on.
I noticed a sport online called World Chase Tag, which was exactly what it sounds like. It was tag created into a sport that was trying to kind of like parkour meets tag. So we talked to the DeVoe brothers, and they were just really cool guys. And I've been noticing them a lot lately popping up on my feed. Like all these different sites would have them, you know, like, oh, check out World Chase Tag. Like people randomly sharing it. I'm like, oh, you know, like. We had those guys on the cast. I wonder what they got coming up. So they have some developments coming up. So I want to get the two of them back on again. So let's give them a ring. All right. We are joined by former guests. We had both Christian and Damien on. I would say it had to be at least over a year ago at some point. But we are...
our last event was the 1st of July. So it probably would have been a bit after our last call. Or was it before? Okay. Fair.
Yeah, so there you go. So somewhere around a year since we had you guys on last. So first off, thanks for giving us a few minutes again, guys.
No problem.
Thank you.
So last we talked, you were really in the opening stages of this sport. You kind of came off. You had one major event. You were planning the next big one. And the reason I wanted to get you guys back on because I got, you know, following you on social media, it seems like you guys have had a lot of growth, a lot of different types of videos, a lot of social media presence. So, first off, how's World Chase Tag going?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think it's all thanks to
we had a sticker
on one of the obstacles that we call the loading bay.
Right,
and it was a green and yellow sticker saying "Verbal Shenanigans."
It was,
and I think it just after that sticker, we were just destined for greatness.
Well, at least you recognize it. We've been saying that forever.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but the event itself was really really good. We had we were really lucky with the sort of athletes that we had, and really the sport, you know, we designed it around, you know, we could put a lot of effort, and we do put a lot of effort into the design of the quad to make sure that it delivers the kind of moves that we want to see, but we need the athletes to deliver on the night, you know, and we had some incredible athletes that night that some were booked in and some sort of joined fairly last minute, but we had like the champion ninja warrior from France,
right,
and his the champions from the UK who were then after that night double champion. We also had the guy who his name is Sebastian Foucault, mm-hmm. and he guy who was in the opening scene of Casino Royale. Remember that James Bond?
Yes.
He was like in his 40s. And he was still rocking. The guy was unbelievable.
So now have you seen, I know you've definitely, I've seen random, it's funny because like after, you know, we did that interview about a year ago, I've seen random people like post like, oh, you got to check this out. Or, oh, look at this sport. Tag's now a sport and whatnot. Have you guys seen some significant growth in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, we've had interest. Like, thanks to, it's still fairly novel, so we still get a lot of people sharing it and saying, oh my god, look at this new sport and da da da. And the thing is, we get that comes from all around the world, so there's certain posts that it might start in like Indonesia or somewhere like that, and it does really, you know, and they randomly pop up and we don't know necessarily when it's going to come, and why, but so, you know, we didn't have one for, I don't know, maybe about a month. And then a couple of weeks ago, we had two posts come out, and one did like 13 million views, and one did like 7.5 million. So in the last 2 weeks, yeah, we had about 20 million views from those sort of events.
True. So what do you guys think of, from we last talked to you in the year, what do you think you've learned the most about the way you've laid out the course and the people who come to the events? Did you have to find that you had to tweak it, make it harder, make it easier? Anything, insights after the last event?
Well, the first time we had the event, the chase was too short and people were getting caught way too easily.
Right.
So we got some good footage and there were some good chases, but in general, we found that, people were just getting caught too easily. So we have a thing that we call evasion quality, or EQ, when it's like, it's how much the court protects the evader. So the higher EQ, the harder it is to tag the evader. The lower the EQ, the easier it is to tag the evader. And so for the next event, we tried to EQ the whole court. So we added more complicated obstacles and all that kind of stuff. And luckily it did make the chases longer. There were more evasions and the evader was a bit more protected. So that's one of the big lessons we learned on that one. We actually did an event in a shopping mall in Paris, maybe a couple of months ago. And we had some really good athletes there. But the space was only, our normal court is 12 meter by 12 meters. But the shopping mall only had space for 8 meters by 8 meters. So it meant we had to make it even more difficult to tag the evader. And we actually created too much EQ, so it was much too difficult, and it was actually virtually impossible to tag the evader, so we had to change it all up. So we're still learning as we go along, but one of the main things we found is just to try and increase the EQ, if that makes sense.
So now, have you, the two of you, has this become your life? Like, has this become the one and only thing you guys do? Are you able to make a profit from this? Or are we still in this is a hobby we're hoping to take off kind of stage?
I mean, that's a good question. And actually, we spent a lot of the time this year trying to figure out this. When you're starting something like this, there's an egg situation between the event, putting on the event, getting distribution for the event, and getting like sponsors and partnership opportunities that are associated with that, right? So you can't put on an event unless you've got sort of sponsor cooperation, right? Don't get sponsor cooperation until you've got the distribution sorted out. But you can't get the distribution until you put on an event. So you really struggle with this. And we've been through a lot of discussions with like various broadcasters, like big national broadcasters from the US, all the big ones, yeah, who are sort of, they're struggling because subscriber numbers are dropping. You know, they are trying to get like new stuff. And so, but they also want your, like all of your blood, sweat and tears, and they want to give up this and that. And so in the end, we decided that actually for this event, at least, the best thing, we're going to do it on our own, what they like, own and operated platforms. Yeah. So we're not 100% sure which platform we're going to live stream the next event on, but it will be one of our platforms. It might be on YouTube, Facebook, or maybe even Twitch is looking really good because the guys at Twitch are talking a lot of sense about some of the things that they can do. And their demographic is really well suited to our demographic, you know, with the age. And, you know, at this moment, it's quite sort of male-dominated in terms of the audience, you know. So, yeah, that's a good... So with that, even though what that allows us to do by not going on the big broadcasts is you can keep your costs slightly in check, right? We have... The advantage of working a lot with parkour athletes is that we know loads of camera guys, loads of people who are really aware about what they're doing. So we've got loads of people that can help out in the production side of things. And we keep the cost down by going on our own platform. But because we've been lucky enough to get a lot of this support through like other Facebook pages and things on Instagram and that sort of thing, we can now we're in a position to sort of work with brands. And we're going to be finalizing deals in the next month to enable us to put that on. So this next event will make a profit.
Now, have you guys seen enough regulars to these events where you can look at promoting like a superstar or possibly even a rivalry between two guys who are like really one-on-one, make amazing matches?
Yeah, there's rivalry beginning to develop within certain teams. Like, we did an event in Tokyo at the beginning of the year where we took the champions from the UK over to Tokyo, and they had a chase off with a Japanese team. And you know, being Brits abroad, they maybe stayed up too late a couple of nights before the event, and they didn't quite perform like how they wanted to, and they got beat by the Japanese team, which really upset the players, you know. But the Japanese team, they were really, really good. And they were working, they were training, and, you know, and they didn't go up and stay up all night and do what the British team did.
That's bad coaching. Yeah, bad coaching, man. Keep your team in line. You put that deadline. You got to get in the hotel by 10 o'clock.
But you
got a match tomorrow.
You also have to know when to peak at the right time, yeah? And that team... Marrero gang, they're always, you know, when it matters, they're there on point. I guarantee they'll be on point. So our next event is 9th September at York Hall in London. Nice. And yeah, Marrero gang are going to be there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are at it's very interesting because not only are you trying to find an avenue for sport, you're also creating a brand new sport at the same time. So it's like, it's almost like you guys have to wear multiple different hats. You have to get participants. You have to create the sport and its rules and then figure out how to get it out there. It's not like you're taking – like, yes, you're taking tag per se, but it's not the tag we know as kids where you just run around and touch each other. So it is interesting that you have to kind of wear – or do you guys find yourselves – do you need to recruit help? Are you still really the two guys doing everything?
Yeah, we are, but we it's kind of, we need it to be that way, right? So, like, actually, when you finish, we do split up the roles. Damon does a lot of the editing and and more of the court sort of stuff, like the design and stuff. And even within building the court, there's certain jobs that I do and there's certain jobs that he does. But, yeah, we still need to do everything. But I think at this stage it's good to do that because, you know, very soon we will be in a position where we have to delegate out. And the fact that you know the little details about, you know, when you're cutting the pole, you have to do it this way. When you're putting this bolt in, you have to sink it down and fill it in with this and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's useful to know all of that.
But at the same time, you're saying we're starting a sport. It's everyone gets the concept of tag.
Right.
And also with parkour becoming more and more popular, not that we're parkour, but the movement is very similar. So we can kind of go into any sort of major city around the world in Asia, America, South America, wherever it's going to be, Australia, and we know we can get a good couple teams, you know, who we know will put on a good show and be a competitive team. So even though it is a new sport, it's not like it's like cricket where there's specific skills you need [S2] Right. [S1] To pick up, stuff like that. It's quite not easily transferable skills, but they're very just. It's just a very general test of athletic ability. Do you know what I mean? So it's a new sport. I think the skill set already exists to play it. You know, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, have there been any look into like a female league for World Chase Tag?
Yeah, we've had a lot of questions about that actually, and we never really. But you know, in the early days, a lot of girls used to come to the meetup before, and. So we've always had a woman coming into the meetups, but at the event, no team has really entered with a woman. We haven't really said it's men only, but no woman have entered so far, you know. And our audience is very male-orientated, very male-dominated. And so is parkour to a certain extent. If you, like, hashtag parkour, the majority of the content is going to be created by guys, you know. But we would love to get women competing. Yeah.
Plus, it's probably a little strange when you just walk up to women and go, hey, do you want to play in my tag league?
Yeah, exactly.
What you could do is give one of them UFC ladies and all, they just roundhouse kick somebody and go, tag, you're it.
Yeah.
I mean, that would get you some headlines there.
Yeah, it's true. We did have we had a really good woman. When we did that show in France in the shopping mall, there was one woman there, Floor, I can't remember her surname, Floor something, and she was amazing. She competed really well. She was going for it. And so, yeah, you know, we'd love to have more women compete. She was very, you know, really, yeah, really good chaser. And,
yeah, and not only do I see that you guys having a market around, I mean, American Ninja Warrior is so big, and, you know, like you said, parkour is huge, but I also see your sport working well for, like clubs and schools and kids, like, learning how to play, you know, like something that kids can do at school or high school, almost like a club they can join and learn how to play the game. Like, I could see down the line that becoming something they can do.
Yeah. I think we'd need to work on a safer court, though. You know, at the moment, our court was designed for adults, and it's all scaffolding and wood and stuff. I think if we were to do a kids one, we have had a lot of people ask if there's a kids court available or a kids club or something like that.
But I think that's the health and safety and insurance people getting in your head.
Yeah.
When you went to Paris, right? The health and safety laws, they're not quite. You know what French people are like, right? And or maybe you don't, I don't know, like, I don't have much experience with French people, but we went into the shopping mall, and the French people, if there's a rule, if they don't like a rule, they just blockade, you know, like the fishermen do it, the truck drivers do it, they don't like something, they just get together and blockade everything, right? And the shopping mall guy came in, so we had a team, there were two guys, two ninja French ninja warrior champions, actually. They were the ones who were coordinating doing the lessons in the shopping mall in Paris, and they were there for the whole week, and then at the end we had a chase off. But they had slots for kids every hour. They had like 15 kids, and they were taking them on speed runs, showing them some parkour moves. And the guy brought out all these helmets. He goes, oh yeah, the shopping mall guy said the kids have to wear the helmets. And the parkour guy said, look, if I put the helmets on the kids, they're not going to be aware of their surroundings. And it's really important. You know, spatial awareness is very important in parkour. So he got the helmets and he locked them under the escalator. And he said, more helmets coming out. And so in the course of the week, they went through 1,000 kid slots. Yeah. Some kids have kid slots because some kids came back each day because they enjoyed it. But they went through 1,000 slots in the week. And they didn't have any injuries at all, you know, in 1,000. I mean, if you had that statistic for like American football or even baseball or probably even ballet, you'd probably get more
gymnastics.
Gymnastics, definitely. Yeah, for sure. You get, even with all the padding, you get injuries.
Gymnastics? Padding? Yeah. Oh, you mean on the right?
You get, yeah.
So, seeing enough matches and all, have you guys even come across like some new strategies like you didn't even foresee in these events, and it's like almost revolutionary to you?
Yeah, I mean, what I really enjoy watching teams train. I find it very interesting. I love martial arts, and I like people hearing people talk about strategy and stuff. And so, spending a bit of time with Marrero Gang, I find they're the ones that have really thought about it the most. Like they said to us one time that we've sort of presented them with a puzzle and they've had to try and figure out this puzzle, and they look at it in a very different way. So they have all kinds of strategies, and a lot of them they won't explain to us what it is. They have this thing called the 5-point strategy or something like that, and they won't tell us what it is. They have all the like herding and reverse herding. So yeah, there's a lot of strategies. And what was really interesting is that the Japanese team, I spent a bit of time with them when we were hosting for the TV program, and they trained in a totally different way. I don't really want to say what they did because I don't want to give anything away. And so I promised all the teams I won't tell anyone what they actually do when they rehearse. Then they'll let me see, you know what I mean? But I love to see that part of things. And the Japanese rehearsing in a totally different way to Marrero-gan. And so, yeah, it's really... And I hope that kind of continues. There is a lot of strategy. And I hope that kind of continues in different camps, because you might get totally different ways of thinking. Like how MMA was in the early days.
Right.
You know, you like a Muay Thai guy against a Jiu-Jitsu guy, and their two strategies were totally and utterly different, you know. I find that really interesting.
Now, with any good idea or something new, there always comes the copycats or the, you know, people creating it. Have you guys seen Anybody trying this without, like, you know, like doing their own thing, seeing this World Chase Tag and starting their own stuff, or are you still kind of all in control of it?
There are people that approach, and you get the impression that they're like asking questions to try and maybe set something up. But as good as the idea might seem, there was quite a bit of work to it.
We
put in a lot of thought into the court design, but we've also protected ourselves with some patterns and with trademarks, you know, so we're quite well protected. You know, and we kind of, with the parkour community, we're trying to work with them. We've always tried to promote the teams wherever possible and the athletes, right? So we want the relationship, the growth, to be like symbiotic between us and them. So we want ourselves, obviously, to be able to grow and prosper as we get brand partnerships in. But by also including the team and promoting them, we're hoping that they would gain value as well. So if the team themselves get sponsors, then that team is better off,
right?
You know, so we're trying to sort of work like in that respect, you know. And so with the gyms, what we're trying to do is like spread the word of Chase Tag. So we offer like license agreement, and you know, we've been working with quite a few gyms like around the place. I've spoken to a lot of gyms in all over America, yeah, like Colorado, California, Buffalo, San Jose, Indiana, and basically spread like throughout the country about possibly doing this license agreement, and where we allow them to sort of use our World Chase Tag branding and rules for Chase Tag related activities at their gym. And a lot of people are sort of looking into that. And there's like a peppercorn fee just for like admin. But what that does is allows them to start getting people chasing in their gyms, you know. And it's better to work with like that. And then we it'd be easier for us to recruit teams for the future when we do come stateside, hopefully next year.
Now, just recently, the movie Tag came out. I'm wondering if you guys have saw the movie, your thoughts on it, or did you guys try to do any kind of cross-promotion with them?
It only came out a couple of days ago. So we did a thing with – so their PR company approached us, and we did a thing with their PR company. So it was a company called Joe Media. And I'm not exactly sure how the movie business works, but I think, you know, with those big, that was a Warner Brother film, and they promote it in many different ways. So we were approached by about three different PR companies to do it that. And some had really big, grandiose ideas of flying the court out to LA and doing something on Venice Beach.
Nice.
That, you know, yeah, it would have been great, but it didn't happen anyway. And then we ended up doing one where we got at each event we have a title that we call Knight, as in KNIGHT, Knight of Flight, yeah, and basically it's MVP of Chase Tag, right? And he's called Knight of Flight, and one of the previous nights we invited over to give a Chase Tag lesson to two presenters. And then they had a little chase off, and it was a really close. It was actually a really dramatic end to the thing, you know. Did we put it on?
No, we haven't put it.
I think they've put it out on their Facebook. Like, so I've seen it, but I can't remember if they've seen it if they've actually put it out or not. But it was a really like sort of dramatic end, and then the two of them at the same time both had a chase with this guy Greg to try and catch him, so it was 2-on-1, and it was a really good chase actually.
Well, we haven't seen the movie yet.
Have you seen the movie?
I have not seen it yet.
I'm not, no,
but you know, maybe this interview will inspire me to see it later tonight. so guys, tell us before we go, tell us or the audience what What is the future here? What is the future looking like? I know you mentioned the event, but maybe kind of tell us about the event and where people should look for the stream and whatnot, or where they pay attention to find out where that stream is going to be. So what's coming up?
Well, the best thing to do is just look on our... So the main channels that we're active on are YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then we're going to start now doing looking at Twitch as well. But those are those sort of five platforms. Everything will be there. All the information will be shared across that. So whichever one is easiest for you, then just go onto that platform, you know? And then you can start there and spread out.
But the event is on the 9th of September, and we're going to have 8 teams this time. Last month was only 6 teams. This one's going to be 8 teams, and we're going to try and get teams from Europe, America, Asia, and Africa. We've already got two teams from the UK confirmed. One of them, the ex-champions, well, Moreira Gang, former, you know, current champions. Another one, Urban Generations. We've got a French team, Blacklist. We've also got a team coming in from Japan, and we're sort of speaking to a team from Morocco as well, and a couple of teams from America. Hmm. So it should be pretty international this time.
Now going into it, who would you say is like the favorite?
Well, we counted them out. Both times we counted Moreira Gang out, and they came back each time. You know, they've won our 2 events so far. So, and this time I think they've prepared it well. They've gotten a lot of good parkour athletes to join their team from outside their usual members. So I kind of think Moreira Gang, to tell you the truth. You know, what we found as well is that, like, experience, the two teams that end up in the final weren't necessarily, in our last event, weren't necessarily the best parkour athletes. They were the teams with the most experience at Chase Tag. So if we follow that same thing with experience and preparation, I think Moreira Gang, again, I don't really want to jinx them or anything like that, or kind of, I don't know if it's in my kind of, are we allowed to do that, make predictions for the...
There's no money on it yet. Hopefully, we'll start getting the betting companies in soon.
So I can't lay like a parlay down on Morocco team, and
I'll take it. I'll bet. Yeah.
Well, guys, it's awesome.
You know that always happens, but
Oh, guys, it's awesome to hear. It's good. It was really cool. I love seeing, like I said, even when I'm not paying attention, like I'll see a video pop up and it reminds me of talking to you guys and from the beginning, and having our logo on that thing was still one of the coolest things to get to see guys jumping all over it and doing flips off of it. So it's it was really cool. It's good to hear the sport's doing well, and thanks again for giving us a few minutes.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, man.
All right. I wanted to ask them. I should have asked them. I don't know their ages, but I wonder if they ever get onto the tag court and like play each other.
Yeah, I kind of wondered that myself. I was going to ask them when they see these like world class parkours. I mean, because as you go back to the previous episode, they talked about it started from just them doing the game on their own and having people come around. For the record, that was episode 153. Shipwrecks, Treasure, and Tag.
Yeah, that was probably one where we had 27 guests on.
We had two. Those two and John Chatterton.
Yes, yeah. So was that 150? So yeah, about a year ago.
153, yeah. So basically, I kind of wonder when they see these world-class athletes, they one of those sitting back in their old days and saying to themselves, I can take this guy.
Yeah,
I got this one. See, I knew he was going to jump right there. I would have caught him there.
Yeah. I could, like I said, I could see it like being popular with kids, man. Like, especially kids who don't, like, latch on to, like, your traditional sports. Like, I really see, like, high school kids getting into that.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's not made for the bulky athletes, for those thin, trim kind of runners / climbers, stuff like that. Something that, like, it almost brings you to like a very unique athlete that can really conquer this kind of sport. And yeah. Like you kind of bring up with the American Ninja and all that, that fits right in.
Yeah, there's a market, man. I mean, if Cornhole Championships can be on ESPN too, World Chase Tag can be right on there.
I saw that a couple of weeks ago. I was meaning to send some emails to some people to see if we can get him on the show. I almost felt bad for him because I saw like the female cornhole. I don't say he's a championship. I was like some event, you know, advancing to the next round, and they were doing it in a minor league baseball park, and I think 12 people were in the stands.
Well, who wants to watch that? Like, no, maybe on TV, right? Maybe on TV, like, it's interesting, but to go to the live event, oof.
I'll tell you one thing, it must be awesome to tailgate that thing, man. You can get plastered, and they're not going to reject you coming in. They're like, no, we got to fill seats. Get in here.
Like, listen, I like playing cornhole. Like, I like it, but I don't want to be watching professional cornholers.
Yeah.
But,
can you imagine if they had, like, the marathon leading up to the championship? We're going to go through all 56 events right now on ESPN3. Stay tuned.
So, yeah, I wish those guys luck. I think if they stick to it, they'll find, you know, there's going to be a market for it because people are always looking for something new to watch. So.
Yeah. And as long as they're getting millions of views, keep on putting that verbal shenanigans tag out there or something. Maybe actually put the word podcast under it or maybe a link, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't think we really got into it, but they did. If you look at their old videos, it's even on their main site. If you go to worldchasetag.com, I think. Just watch where the guys step on the one platform. There's a very large. Now, when they told us they were going to let us be like a sponsor, I thought we were going to get like a little sticker on a pole somewhere. No, we got a whole platform. And it was pretty cool. The guys are flipping off of it and things like that. So go check it out. There's the Verbal Shenanigans logo on one of the main platforms. I mean, this is like NASCAR big. This is like the hood of the car size. Now we did
see that car along. You could have been that.
Yeah.
No.
One time
you
me and Mike
too much.
One time me and Mike tried to see if we could buy Carl Long a tire to get on a on a NASCAR, which I still think is BS that you had to buy four tires. That doesn't make any sense. You won't take the money to get a tires. You're 1/4 of the way there.
Yeah, I'm not saying put us right on the hood, but I mean,
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, no, like a rear fender or something. You're desperate. You're asking people for money for a tire, for tires. Mm-hmm. So they got to buy you four. That's just being a little greedy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what. I mean, maybe that's their new strategy. One tire stops.
Is that guy still racing?
Carlo, yeah, they do. He has other drivers drive his car just because some other drivers come with sponsorship, but he owns that car.
Some other drivers came with their own tires.
Carl,
the race is over. I'm going to have to take those tires back.
Come on, man. We're going to Kentucky. What the hell are we going to do?
I don't know. Should have listened to those shenanigans, guys. We would have bought a tire. We would.
You only had to worry about three tires. Now you got to worry about four.
We had a couple more sponsors back then. We would have bought a tire. I'm just saying.
Oh, that'd been epic, and maybe I have the rim actually green and yellow. I mean, that'd been epic.
Right. So screw you, Carl Long. You're my least favorite NASCAR driver.
Yeah. Well, who's your third favorite again?
My third favorite.
Yeah. Well, we know Trevor Payne, who was on the show, is probably your number one. Yeah, but I kind of want to go through your top five then.
Oh, Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, Jersey boy. He's doing really good.
I actually knew that, and I heard someone recently say that he was doing very well. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, he won the title last year. He was actually at the White House a couple months, a month ago maybe, with Trump. Yeah, but he won a title with a team that's actually based out of Denver, which is unheard of.
Well, there you go. See, I picked good ones. That's why.
Okay.
So yeah, those two.
But I said top five.
Jimmy Johnson. I don't like him.
Well, that's it. That's a driver. Yep.
Who's the guy that killed someone? Tony Stewart.
Yeah. Well, that's not really his nickname, but he is retired. But still.
His nickname. He's the guy that killed someone. Give it up for Tony.
Tony, the guy who killed somebody. Stewart.
Yeah, that guy.
That's my nickname in UFC if I ever come out. I got no prayer, but maybe I can get into the other guy's head. Oh, shit.
And my fifth favorite is the guy from...
Are you Googling?
Cold Trickle.
That's a movie?
No, it's not.
Days of Thunder.
Based on Cole Trickle's life, yeah.
No.
It's a docu-piece.
There's not an actual Cole Trickle in this world.
You know, some people believe in God, some people don't. I believe in Cole Trickle.
Oh. Do you have a Trickle-mas?
Listen, we had Santa Claus on the show.
Yeah. You got me back in the Christmas spirit because of that.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't think it could happen. We had Santa Claus on the show for Christmas this year. So
yeah.
Cole Trickle is just as real as anyone else.
Yeah.
But
yeah. He gives out dollar store gifts every November 12th.
Hey, Dollar Tree. We got to start planning for our Christmas and our Halloween episodes. We'll be here before you know it.
Oh, yeah,
those are our two themed episodes we generally do each year, or we have been the last couple of years. So
yeah, well, we say screw Thanksgiving.
Hey, we've also done a President's Day episode.
Yeah,
where we had many candidates. You know, midterm elections are coming up. Maybe we can do another President's Day episode.
Oh, we'll check around.
With some of the fine,
I'm sure Cecil Ince is still living in his parents' basement.
Yeah. But, so, Berlo, I wanted to, you know, we haven't done this bit in a while on the show, but we're going to play a little Dirtbag of the Week.
Oh, nice.
Yes. But this time, Berlo, it is completely Georgia-themed.
Oh
yes! So all these stories happened in your new state of Georgia.
Very proud of what's coming up. I'm sure.
All right, so I got a couple stories for you, and you're going to pick for me who the dirtbag of. They're not really the week. Some of them are a little old, but they're just kind of crazy stories. So you're going to get dirtbag of the week. No one really needs to know. All right. So naked woman vandalized, flooded stranger's home. All right.
All right.
So a woman in Calhoun, Georgia. Where Calhoun located near you?
It sounds familiar. I think that's more north.
All right. So she came home to a big surprise. Her home was looted and filled with water. The woman called deputies, and when they investigated the house, they allegedly found an even bigger surprise, a naked woman hiding in one of the closets. The naked woman in question was Suzanne Hussein, 34, who lives about seven
miles. Saddam's niece?
Yeah. She lives about 7 miles away and didn't know the homeowner, according to Sheriff Mitch Ralston of the Gordon County Sheriff's Office. Ms. Hussein was, in fact, nude and was acting abnormally, but was taken into custody without further incident. Ralston posted in the sheriff's office website, an estimate of the destruction cost has not been released, but Ralston described the house as extensively damaged. Investigators have not determined any motive. Hussein was taken to a local hospital to be evaluated. After her release, she was arrested and charged with burglary, and criminal damage. She also has prior charges of possession of methamphetamine.
Now, maybe she just saw Home Alone and she's inspired by the Wet Bandits.
While on methamphetamine.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Pesci did an incredible role there. That was better than any of his Casino or Goodfellas, anything like that. That's the role you want to inspire.
Okay. All right.
But then she saw the porn parody of Home Alone, and that's why she was naked.
There's a porn parody of Home Alone?
There's probably a porn parody of everything. I mean, it makes sense. Home Alone.
Yes.
Whatever will I do?
All right. Well, here's another fine woman of Georgia. All right. Stephanie Walker. She allegedly dressed as a mime and attacked a college student. Stephanie C. Walker, 37, was dressed as a mime when she allegedly attacked a 20-year-old University of Georgia student. The female student told Athens Clark police she was walking down the street around 11 a.m. Wednesday when Walker approached wearing all black with her face painted completely white. Walker alleges started yelling at the student that student had watched her on TV. When the student replied that she didn't even have a TV, Walker allegedly grabbed her hair, hit her, and shoved her on the ground. A 39-year-old bystander stopped the attack. A police report obtained by Online Athens states that when authorities showed up, Walker was ranting without making any sense. She allegedly had a straight razor in her purse. The student and Walker did not know each other previously. She was charged with battery and is scheduled to have a mental evaluation.
Now, to be fair, the prices for TVs at Best Buy are amazing. So there is no excuse for not having a TV. I gotta be honest. I mean, that's completely uncalled for. Now, if you know, you do the basic cable package, I can understand that. That thing goes up and down. But not having a TV at all, you know, I gotta slap somebody for that.
Now, there's an interesting end to this article. Walker wasn't the first person to dress up like an entertainer and end up in a street fight. In November, a cop and a clown were caught on tape publicly brawling after the clown was allegedly chasing cars with squirt guns. And in case your children aren't already terrified of clowns, Dominic DeVille, the evil birthday clown, will, for a fee, stalk your child the week leading up to his birthday. DeVille says he harasses the child with threatening notes and phone messages that culminate in him smashing a pie in the kid's face.
I think I was trying to get that guy on our show one time, and there was something like evil clowns or something like where they around Halloween where they get into like an ice cream truck that's like they put like fake blood all over it and they show up like kind of like killer clowns or whatever. I recall trying to find those.
There's still time. Halloween episode. Yeah, there you go. Halloween episode.
There we go.
All right. So James Satterfield was denied bail after allegedly threatened to kill, cook, and eat the family of a judge.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
A Georgia man who threatened to kill, cook, and eat the family of a judge who presided over his divorce case has been denied bail. James Satterfield is charged with making terroristic threats to Judge Reuben Green. In the letter, Satterfield, 58, allegedly wrote that he would kill the couple's children and eat them, and also stated that he would cook them first to make them more palatable, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The letter also requested that Green's wife please give a copy of this letter so the police to the police so that when you are slaughtered, the public will know who were really responsible.
See, I mean, I don't think he's that insane because he described why he had to cook the kids. I mean, that'd be just disgusting eating raw meat like that. I mean, we just talked about rancid meat on the show for like two other times. I mean, it just doesn't make sense and all. He's perfectly explained, listen, I'm going to eat your children, but I'm going to properly cook them. So I don't know why they just said this guy's insane.
So you think he's actually doing like a public service, really?
Yeah. He's telling people, all right, I understand we all have different religions, and obviously cannibalism is growing in this world. Mm. But we have to be smart about this. You can't just go around and take a chunk out of somebody and shove it in their mouth.
Wow.
You know, there's various diseases, there's various bacteria, you know, they're just, I mean, just on the fact that there's no spices on the meat, it's just uncalled for. Like, if you did that at Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay would be screaming at you.
So
he rationalized it and said, I'm going to eat your children, however, I'm going to prepare them properly.
Next story.
Yep.
All right, last story here. I like this one. Man shoots armadillo, bullet hits mother-in-law. Mother's Day may be a little awkward for Larry McElroy next month. Sheriff deputies in Lee County, Georgia, said McElroy, 54, accidentally shot his mother-in-law with a 9mm pistol when he was trying to shoot an armadillo. The armadillo died from the shot, but the bullet ricocheted off the animal, hit a fence, and went into the back door of his mother-in-law's, shocking, mobile home, a distance of about 100 yards. Then you don't see too many stories. It went back through her mansion. Mobile home is exactly what you picture there. But then it went through the recliner where the 74-year-old woman was sitting and into her back. She was taken to a nearby hospital, was expected to recover. They have not said whether McElroy faces any charges for shooting.
What's interesting is they know exactly the trajectory of this bullet. So they brought in some like CSI people to figure out this shit. Like,
yeah, they can figure out, they can figure out Armadillo Gate in Georgia, but can't figure out the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just further proof. Maybe, Hey, Texas got armadillos. Isn't a college football team named Armadillos or something like that? I mean, there you go. That's the explanation of the magic bullet.
The Texas, the Longhorns.
But there's different colleges in the state, bro. It's not just one college team in the entire state of Texas.
Oh, well, I thought you said Texas, like the University
well, the
of Texas.
State, one of, yeah, the, one of them schools, I think, is named the Armadillos. We'll figure it out one day, or we won't care. Either way.
Armadillos, Texas. Nope, just show me lots of pictures of cute armadillos. I mean, I'm sure there's something out there. But I find it crazy that the bullet went through the armadillo and then still shot his mother-in-law.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them out here. I've seen quite a bit run over in
really?
The streets of Georgia. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't seen one, like, walking around live, but I've seen quite a few in the streets a little squishy.
Can you take a picture, selfie with a dead armadillo?
Considering how much I won last year's contest by, I don't really need to.
2 years ago.
To the lead,
2 years
if you
ago.
Will.
2 years
yeah.
ago. We haven't brought that back out yet.
Yeah.
Nor have we tried to figure it out, really. So,
all right, we talked about it.
Yeah. We got some ideas. All right. So you got Stephanie Walker, the mime. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got the naked woman in the closet. Miss Hussein. You got James Satterfield, the guy who threatened to eat the judge's children. And you got the armadillo shooter.
Hmm. By pure definition of dirtbag, I guess I have to go with the I'm going to kill your children just by rule.
Wow.
Guy.
I thought you were supporting this guy.
Well, I mean, I'll support that he's perfectly sane, but the actual act would be closest to dirtbag. I mean,
wait. So he's perfectly sane.
He's perfectly sane, but he's a dirtbag, as we have just qualified.
Wait. So he just threatened to eat someone's children, and he's perfectly normal.
Yeah. Why not?
And no wonder you moved down there. No.
Yeah, I mean,
it's only a matter of time before I'm reading a story. Michael Berlew threatened to eat. Threatened to eat judges' children.
No, I wouldn't threaten a judge.
I'd
like,
do
no,
it.
Judge. No, I would. Because
I wouldn't threaten. I'd get it done.
Well, I would talk to my lawyer and be like, listen, this is what's going through my head. You tell me if I'm spitballing stuff that's correct. And, you know, we'll go from there. But, I guess if we had more details on why the girl was naked and flooded the woman's house, she might have won that one. The mime, you know, I mean, not having a television, I mean, that's just uncalled for.
Mm.
And with the armadillo guy, I mean, at least in theory, he wasn't trying to hit his, what was it, his grandma? Or
His mother-in-law.
His mother-in-law, yeah. Now, if he was playing to hit his mother-in-law, I'll give him points just for figuring out the trajectory. And that guy was bringing out his geometry book, and he was, the armadillo is 7 feet away, and it's 23 degrees over to the fence, and the mobile home is parked 12.2 miles away.
Yeah, you don't have too many guys shooting armadillos in the back of, like, a nice house.
No.
Oh,
you know,
that's just James.
This was such a lovely neighborhood, a gated community. Then the guy came out and started shooting armadillos. It was horrible.
Well, James Satterfield, you are the Georgian Dirtbag of the Week. It should be like Dirtbag of the Year at this point because we probably haven't done that bit in like 6 months.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So
definitely been a while.
Yeah. So, Burley, you got anything before we get out of here?
I could save this for next week. And you know, I think we got a decent episode tonight.
Okay. All right. So let's get right on out of here. Anything to promote?
I will promote a former guest of ours, Rab himself. He is coming out with a new podcast called the Bathroom Break Podcast. Should be coming to your airways kind of soon. You can check out his YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rob himself, for details on his upcoming podcast.
And again, that's Rob himself from Jackass, just so you guys are saying who. That is the guy from Jackass. That was a really fun interview a couple months ago. I'm going to promote a friend of the show and his radio show. He's been doing it for a long, long time. They've been doing it online radio, like live online for a long time before podcast, really. So they've been doing it for a long time. That is my good friend Joe Conte, the Conte and Kenny Show. Very funny show. They're actually live now as we're talking. I know this isn't live, but I think they go live on Monday nights. So again, that is the Conte, Conte, and Kenny Show. All right. So what you guys can do is continue to like and love and listen and share and comment and follow us on social media so we can keep getting good guests and build more of a following. That really helps us out here.
Yeah. Those three listens in India. Bump it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's get to
There's
six.
There's a few people out there. Talk to them.
Let's get to six by the end of this month. Let's get to six. So I'm definitely going to hashtag India a bunch in this episode. So hopefully that'll get some listens. So, guys, let's get the hell out of here. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. I'm a guy.